Here we are in the Lord's presence, and I'd like you to turn to in your Bibles, or go to your device, or look up on the screen to Acts chapter 11 and verse 15. Acts 11, 15. And my encouragement always is, of course, you have your device, and it's good to have a device as long as you're not divisive, okay? But if you have, you know, iPad or whatever you have to go to it, it's always good to have your Bible, though, because there's just something about we go to the Word from our Bibles when we're together, and then afterwards it helps you to remember what we spoke about, I think, all that much more. But nevertheless, here we go. Acts chapter 11, verse 15, and where Peter is speaking, and he says, "As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning." As I began to speak, what happened? The Holy Spirit came on us as he had come on them, as he had come on us at the beginning. He continues and he says, "Then I remembered what the Lord had said. And the Lord said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He says, "So God gave them the same gift as he gave to us who believed." If you just go over to 10:44, Peter is referring to this moment in his life. So he's in a meeting and he's recounting what happened, the verse that I just read to you. And then he goes to Acts chapter 10, where it happened, and it says, Luke tells us now, the writer of this book, he says, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message." Let's pray. And so, Father, here we are in your presence, and as we look into your word this morning, that as I speak, that your Holy Spirit would be poured out upon us in this place, in our hearts, in this moment. And I pray your blessing in Christ's name to that end. Amen and amen. And so, this is, of course, referring to, as you look back in chapter 10, where Peter goes to Cornelius's house. Cornelius is an Italian guy, and he's part of the Roman contingency. And so Cornelius is seeking God. And in the process, you know, during that time in which Cornelius is seeking God, the Lord visits Cornelius, and he also visits Peter to send Peter to Cornelius and to his family to speak to him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that's what happens. Peter goes there to Cornelius' house. Cornelius calls all his family together. Peter stands to speak, and while Peter is standing, preaching, giving the message, the Holy Spirit falls on them. And Peter says in his report, it happened to Cornelius and to all of his family, just like it happened to us way back in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. And so, let me begin this way, okay? Muy buenos días a todos. Estamos aquí en la presencia de Dios para que oigamos su palabra y seamos llenos del Espíritu Santo. Porque Él es que el gran traductor de la palabra en y a través de nuestras vidas. Now, if I were to ask you right now, what is it that you would need? What would you say? What's needed? You know, if there was one thing that you would need right now, as I just said that, it would be an interpreter, right? An interpreter. With what was just said. And that's what's needed, and it's what was needed with Cornelius. Cornelius had been seeking God, and he was even visited by an angel that spoke to him, and yet Cornelius needed Peter to come to him and to be a part of that to give to them an understanding of what it was in the gospel. And then even as Peter's speaking, Peter's words weren't enough to help them, to bring to them the understanding that they needed. And so while Peter is speaking, we have this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, whom we can refer to, that we can call, that we ourselves can call the great interpreter. This is how we come to know him, and he interprets for us. He translates for us. And when he fell on them, Cornelius and his family, brought to them was an understanding that words alone could not bring to them, but those words had to be interpreted to them by God himself, by God the Holy Spirit. So let me read something to you that Derek Tidball says that is just so amazing, such an amazing statement. He says the paraclete, and he says that the Holy Spirit is referred to as that one who is called to stand alongside us, to bring to us understanding. And he calls him this, I love this, he says he is the alter ego of Jesus. He is that other self of Jesus, the alter ego of Jesus. He said he would ensure, the Holy Spirit would ensure, that later Christians were no further removed from the ministry of Jesus than the earlier Christians were. He would dwell within them as Christ dwelt within the eyewitnesses. And the idea is here is that as the Holy Spirit has been poured out, Acts chapter 2, here again in Acts chapter 10, that these Christians, now Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, is brought as close to Jesus, as close to the Word of God, as they were when Jesus himself was with them. They are brought as close as that to Jesus and his words. And what Tidball is saying to us, and what we have to understand by this outpouring of the Spirit, which is also to us, is that we also, in that the Holy Spirit is poured out upon us, in that the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, he brings us as close to Jesus as they were close to Jesus. That's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. And so we also need to have happen to us what happened to them at the beginning. What happened to them in the beginning in Acts chapter 2 was the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. And they began to understand everything that Jesus had said to them. Now notice, began to understand, not get it completely, but they began to understand like they never understood before, because this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This is the ministry of the alter ego of Jesus in our lives. And they began, and Peter says this. So what happened to them? What happened to them at the beginning? They received the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is what happened to them in Acts chapter 2. They received the gift of the Holy Spirit. What happened to Cornelius and his family? They received another Pentecost. Another Pentecost. And it wasn't, you know, though it was a repeat, it wasn't a rerun. And, you know, and there's differences in this context. You know, in that it was a repeat, that is to say, in the household of Cornelius, all those people jammed there in that room. And as Peter began to speak the message, something of God began to fall. The word is poured out on them. You know, like you pour water on. The image that Jesus gave was John baptized with water. But I'm going to do what? I'm going to dunk you in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to immerse you in the Spirit. Right? That's the metaphor that Jesus used. The metaphor through Acts is the outpouring of the Spirit, right? And as we see here, he says this is another Pentecost is happening in the household of Cornelius. It's a repeat, but it's a repeat, like I say, not a rerun, because something fresh is happening here and so many things can be said about that. You know, Cornelius and his family, they weren't Jews, they were Gentiles. They were, you know, Roman citizens, come from Rome, placed there. They were transplants, and the animosity between Jews and non-Jews was intense. They didn't associate. They didn't eat together. It was all as bad as those days that we faced in our nation in the 60s, and if not even worse. It was that bad. And so here you have where God does the same things among these people who are non-Jews as he did to the Jews, and God making a statement there. How much can be said about that? There is no racial divide in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is none. Though there are blacks, though there are whites, though there are yellows, though there are red, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is no racial divide. All are together in Christ. God help us with that. God help us with that. And so that's something that's fresh here. But it's not my point this morning. My point is a simple one this morning. It's a simple one. And the point that I want to make this morning is that we need to have happen to us what happened to them at the beginning. I need to have happen to me. We need another Pentecost. I believe that this pattern continues, that this pattern where you see the outpouring of the Spirit in Acts chapter 2, and then you see it again in Acts chapter 4, and as you see it again here in Acts chapter 10, that on this day, what's today, June 12th? 2016, and we are in Acts chapter what? I don't know, since then, Acts chapter something, right? We're in. That this also, that there needs to be among us another Pentecost. As I begin to speak, the Holy Spirit needs to fall among us. The Holy Spirit needs to fall. We need that kind of translation. Oh, yeah, you know, Jose and his sister, you knew what I was saying in Spanish, right? Muy buenos días a todos. Dime. Huh? Good morning. A very good morning to everyone, right? Right? Estamos aquí en la presencia de Dios para que oigamos su palabra. Seamos llenos del Espíritu Santo. What did I say? Come on, Jose, translate. Be the Holy Spirit this morning. No, he said, I don't speak English. I said, we're here in the presence of God in order that we might hear his word and that we might be filled with the Holy Spirit. So because He it is that is the grand translator of his word in and through our lives. The Holy Spirit is. We need this. We need this. And I said, let me continue, okay, about this to say also, not only do we need this to happen to us, it's happened to them at the beginning, but here we go, all right? But we also need to be in the same place they were at. We need to be in the same place that they were at on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was outpoured upon them and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need to be at the same place that Cornelius was at along with his family when he called them together. And because they were at that place, the Holy Spirit, God, the Father, was at liberty to fulfill his promise and pour out his Spirit upon them. We need to be at that same place that God might continue to fulfill his promise to us, to his church, to continue to pour out his Spirit upon us. Let me kind of look at it this way from Acts chapter 2, where Peter speaks to them before they receive the Holy Spirit. And just say something as simple as this. If I pour water into a dirty glass, what happens to the water? The water gets what? The water gets dirty. You got to make sure when you pour water into an empty glass that it's got to be what? Clean. And Peter, on that day of Pentecost, what he's referring to at the beginning when the Holy Spirit was poured out, he stands before the people and he says, listen, he says, you need to repent. You need to repent. You need to repent, which is getting the glass clean. You need to repent. You need to turn from whatever those sins are, and you need to turn to God. And he says to them, as you repent, in your repentance, in your confession, you know, it's like, you mean to tell me it's just that simple that I confess my sins and God forgives me? Yes, it's called G-R-A-C-E, grace. And we turn. And Peter says, because you repent, he says, this promise will be poured out into your lives. You will be given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what happened to them? They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. You say, what is the place that Cornelius was at and his family? Well, when you look into the text, it says that Cornelius was a God seeker. He was seeking God. His heart was towards God. He wasn't a Jew. He didn't have the same kind of religious aspirations, religious goals, religious understanding as the Jews did of the one God. Being a Roman, his worldview was filled with what? With many gods. And of hero worship, the worship of Caesar, filled his understanding of what it was to be a religious person. But yet, contrary to that, this man was seeking the one true God. Yet the understanding wasn't complete there. That's why Peter was sent. That's why the Holy Spirit was poured out. And what was it about Cornelius that this man, who didn't have the same kind of religious sensitivities that the Jews had, that God would send to him an angel and speak to him and then send Peter to him? What was it? Well, it was the kind of thing that was going on and that is spoken to us in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. And it's the place where we have to be at as well. And he says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But whoever is going to come to God must believe that he is. And here it is right now. Here's the kicker. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is a rewarder. And so this Cornelius, he didn't know. He had no clue what he was in for when he called for Peter. And this guy is seeking God. His heart is towards God. This is the place that he is at. You understand? His heart, Cornelius was so focused. Cornelius was cutting cross grain. Cornelius was going upstream to all of his friends. I mean, this guy's a Roman soldier. He's a centurion. This guy, he's like a captain, all right? And it's like, wow, Cornelius, you know, he had to stand out like a sore thumb. Cornelius did. And yet his heart was so inclined towards God that he kept in the pursuit of that. God took notice of that in this man to such an extent that God went, you know, it's the wonderful thing about it is that God arrests the attention of Peter. And he says, Peter, I got a special assignment for you. Now, it was hard for Peter to go. Because it's like, boy, we don't associate with those kinds of people. Yeah, that was in his heart. That was in his heart. So much can be said about this. I think of the outpouring of the Spirit that happened at the turn of the last century, in the early 1900s. A tremendous outpouring happened of the Spirit in Los Angeles. Some of you have heard of Azusa Street. And one of the main players of that was a black man, William Parham. He was the spearhead. He was the tip of the point in that outpouring of the Spirit. And yet, many churches would not let him on their platforms because he was black. Shameful indeed. Now, God worked through that. He worked through it. He worked in spite of that. And this is the kind of thing that we have going on here. God always breaks the racial divide. And he poured out his Spirit. He pours out his Spirit here. Peter goes. And where was Cornelius at? Cornelius was at, you see, because God is no respecter of persons because of color, because of affluence, because of money, because of letters after their names, you know, degrees or intellect. And he's no respecter of stupidity either. Okay, so just, you know what I'm saying? But he is a respecter of those whose hearts are towards him as Cornelius's was. And God says, this guy's seeking me. I'm going to reward him. What does he reward him with? It says in this, he says, he gave them the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what he gave to Cornelius and his family, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And which leads me to say this as we tie this thing up here. Cornelius shows us what happens to people who put an effort into seeking God. God rewards them. And I want to end this morning at the beginning. I want to end this morning at the beginning. That we also need to have happen to us what happened to them. In Luke chapter 11, and starting at verse 11, Jesus is teaching his disciples about praying. And he's teaching us how it is that we have to pray. How it is that we have to get, how it is that we put a demand upon God so that he hears and answers us. And he says, ask, and we know it means what? Keep asking. Seek, keep seeking. And he goes down there, Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 11. He comes to verse 11 in that passage of Scripture where he's teaching on prayer. And he says these words that I want to highlight this morning as we pray next. And he says, if you then, being evil, know how to... He says, back up. He says, if your son, you know, is hungry and asks for... what's he say? For an egg, he says, are you going to give him a snake? If he asks for, are you going to give him something totally different? He says, no. He says, if you being evil, and there's so much that could be said about that. He says, but if you're the kind of people you are, and yet you're going to make sure that you're going to give your kids the right things. Look at what he says. How much more shall your heavenly Father give what? Give what? Look at here. He says, the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. Because the greatest of gifts, when we pray, the greatest of gifts, that when we pray into our situations, and we ask God for this, we ask God for that, and one as wonderful as it is, Jesus pinpoints for us that unless we get this gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, who brings to us an understanding of the gospel, who brings to us an understanding of the circumstances of our lives, who would bring to you the circumstance of your life that you just now find yourself in and are praying about. And you're praying, God, I need blue, 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 blue. When in God's heart is, but you really need green. But we keep on, God, I need blue, 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 blue. And in God's heart it is, but you really need green. And then we say, oh, Lord, I take this to heart. Pour out of your Spirit upon me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And finally, something wells up within us. Something comes to us of an understanding. And we start connecting and we say, you know what? I really do need what? Green, 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 green. And that's only the tip of the iceberg in this. And so I want us to pray now. I want us to pray and I want us to be obedient to this scripture. In Luke chapter 11, where he says, this is how you need to pray. I want us to have in our hearts that, as I said, we need to have happen to us what happened to them. And that the Holy Spirit has come not even to bridge the distance, but he brings us there. You understand? He hasn't come to bridge the distance, but he has come, and I am no further removed from the Lord. I am no further removed from this word. And what it is that God expects of me, wants of me, his purpose for my life, my understanding of him, my relationship with him. I am no further removed from any of that than the first disciples were. Why? Because the same Spirit that was in them is in me. The same Spirit. And he says to us, even as we see here, that there was another Pentecost that happened. The Holy Spirit was poured out. Ephesians 5 and 18 says, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. I like bologna. It's a problem sometimes because Bob is more filled with bologna than he is with the Spirit. You know what I'm saying? And you have to be careful. And what are you filled with? And how do we get there? And so this whole thing this morning, I want us to take to heart this word. And if the cup is dirty, to make it clean this morning. The cup is dirty to make it clean. That I have about me this sense of what I need most in my life right now. What I need more than whatever it is that you would put at the top of your list of what you need. See, what is it that you need most in your life right now? If God could answer one prayer in your life right now, what is it that you'd be asking him for? I have to fight in my mind when I ask that question as to what I would ask for first. There are so many that ought to be first. Right? And I'm sure that if you thought about it, you'd have the same conflict. But I want to say to you this morning, the best thing that we could ask for, Lord, come and pour out your Spirit. Lord, come and fill my life. Lord, I'm asking you for this same promise, this same gift in my life. You say, well, the Holy Spirit is in my life. I'm saved. I'm born again. Absolutely, he is there. You say, I've been filled with the Spirit. Absolutely, you have been. But sometimes there are leaks, and I don't mean leaks in garlic. You know? But besides the leaks, there is that continual sense of living there, that it's not a once-for-all deal. Oh, yes, I'm filled with the Spirit. But it's this sense that we receive from Ephesians 5 and 18, where he says, be filled with the Spirit, that it's a continuous filling. Jesus said, on that day, the Holy Spirit shall be outpoured. And he said, out of your innermost what? Being shall flow what? Rivers of living water. You ever feel like there's been a dam built up in your life from them rivers flowing out of you? You know? And you got your finger in the dike holding back so much. For heaven's sake this morning, take your finger out and let the water flow. Trust me, that little trickle will take the whole dike down. It's what we need. It's what we need. So let's stand together this morning. Mike, was that any better this morning? Maybe a little, you know, little spoonful of sugar, huh? You know? But besides that, who can help me with some music? Boy, do we have anybody? Oh, yeah, Melody, you're here. Who's going to play for me? I would do it. But I know I need some music. Mel, Todd's going to put on some music. All right. Let's pray. The prayer is simple. What are we going to pray for? Holy Spirit. And I'll wait till the music goes.
Oh, Jesus. We need your fire.
On the day of Pentecost, the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit, remember what it says. It says that the Holy Spirit came and it filled all the room where they were sitting. And then it says, he filled them.
Your blood bought gift today.
So there's a difference. And I don't know if you've ever felt like that. You ever felt like everybody, you know, it's like, you know the Holy Spirit is there, but he's not here. You know? Wow, there it is. Where did you find? We need another Pentecost. We really do. And this somehow fits with what we were talking about earlier, doesn't it? In that our love has a tendency, listen, we're all Listen, we're all vulnerable to our love growing cold. All of us. There's no condemnation here. No. We all are. You mean you are, Bob? I have backslidden. I got the splinters. You say, what's backsliding like? Backsliding is like this. It's going down, it's going the wrong way on the banister with the splinters going the opposite way. That's backsliding. So we want to pray. Holy Spirit, here we are in this place. And I'm asking that you would be, Father, that you would be pleased to pour out of your Holy Spirit upon us, even as we posture ourselves before you now. As I posture my heart before you to clean the cup. As I posture myself before you to say that I want to seek the kingdom of God first in God's righteousness as a priority in my life. I want to be above all known as a person who seeks God, who waits on God, who's looking to God, whose life is prioritized with being a person who is a follower of Jesus. As Cornelius was a God seeker. And so, Lord, as we are here in this place, and I want to encourage you folks to do the same. You got to do business with God. You do business with God right now. Maybe there's someone that you have to make something right with. Maybe you got to make a phone call. Maybe you got to send a letter to someone and just say, you know, I apologize. I'm sorry. Maybe you got to say before God, God, you see this secret thing going on in my life. I'm asking you to forgive me. Maybe whatever it is, however it is that you feel as though the cup has to be made clean. And then, folks, that you're able to come to this place in your own life and say, yeah, you know what? There's coldness that has been creeping in to my heart and my walk with Jesus. God, confess it. And, Lord, that there would be this sense about you, saying, Lord, I'm committing my life to zero in on seeking you. God, be pleased to give me the greatest gift that I could possibly be aware of, that I'm not even aware of, the gift of your presence, of your Holy Spirit filling my life once again. Of that continual filling of your, Lord, pour out of your Spirit upon us. Lord, grant to us, Woke at Christian Life Center, another Pentecost. Where those kinds of things in our society, oh Lord, let alone the racial divide, all of those things that are happening right now, that such an outpouring of your Spirit would come upon us, that God would break through all of those things. And those things that exist in my heart, those things that exist in our hearts. And so, folks, I'm going to just ask you to lift your hands in a posture of receiving like this, you know, palms up. And we're going to pray together. You pray it however you got to pray, but we're going to pray together. And we're going to ask our Heavenly Father for the gift of the Holy Spirit this morning. So, Father, here we are. My heart's wide open, and I ask you for the gift of your Holy Spirit to fill my life, to fill my heart, to fill my thinking, to restore to me that first love and feeling, that you would be pleased to pour out upon us, that the Word of God would come alive to us once again because the interpreter, the translator of that Word is in our hearts, is in our midst, The Holy Spirit's at work and making known to us, directing us and causing us to be passionate and excited. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. We pray, Father, in Jesus' name. I didn't read it, but the statistics were, they were talking about statistics on, the statistics had to do with this, that in America right now, there's a decline of church attendance across the board. People just aren't going. One thing or another. And I say to that, we are ready for another Pentecost. You know? I want the kind of revival that before we have to keep the doors locked because the seats are just too full and people are lined up to get in. You know what I'm saying? We got to give tickets to get in. And you say, well, you're exaggerating. I've been in revival where I've stood in line to get in church. I have. He's here. So God bless you. Greet one another on your way out. Let's keep these things in our hearts. And who knows what God's going to do. Listen, don't rush right out, okay? Say hi to a couple of people. Get to them. Not everybody here is mean and ugly, okay? Just a few. I'm coming to you. Hey, you guys.